It's Sam here with Rowdy Alternative, and today we have Matt James from Blacktop Mojo. How you doing, man?
Doing good, brother.
Awesome. Been keeping busy. Are you guys touring with Clutch right now still? I think you are, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, we are. We're in the Rocky Mountains right now.
Hell yeah. So like, how's that been? Do you consider this one of like the biggest tours you've been on, like when it comes to like who you're with and everything?
Yeah, man, I think so. I think, these have definitely been some of the biggest shows we've ever done. It's been sold out every night so far. This is, the fifth show of the tour, and, we're doing two nights at the hotel where they shot The Shining. Where The Shining's based off of, and, yeah, so they got like a little ballroom concert hall thing, and we're doing two nights here, and they're both sold out. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a wild time.
That's sweet. You got to get some good pictures of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So touring with them and like being with a band like Clutch, just since they've been around for a while, have you learned some like new things, like just being on the road, some things that will help you guys out, whether it's from them themselves or like just being around them or anything like that?
Yeah, man. I mean, they're all really nice guys. I mean, I think that's a big part of longevity in this music game thing, you know, just being cool to everybody, no matter how long you've been around or what you've done. And then also just never stop getting better. We watched their drummer. Mm-hmm. Their drummer set up a drum kit in one of their little trailers yesterday and practiced for like 3.5 hours before the show. Like, I mean, he was just He was just fucking around getting after it, you know what I mean? And it was awesome. It was just like, man, he's been doing this shit for, you know, 30 plus years and he's still like just practicing, hammering it out every day.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. I think about that a lot, like with these bands, like, well, hell, like any band that's like touring anyway, like, do you still find time to practice, or is it like the shows are when you play, if that makes any sense? Like, do you practice in between, or how do you guys do it?
Yeah, for example, like tonight, we're about to go sound check here in a little bit, and we're probably changed the setup a little bit tonight, so... you know, we rehearsed a bunch before the tour, so we kind of know all the songs. But you know, to knock the rust off and get the changes and everything exactly right, we'll hammer that out during sound check, and then we'll see how it goes tonight, and then maybe try it again tomorrow night and see if it's a little smoother. Yeah. And you know, kind of practice on the fly. You know,
yeah, right on, man. Yeah. So if someone's going to a Blacktop Mojo song or song show, what can they expect? Like, how would you describe your live show?
It's super, super high energy, just head banging Southern rock, man. So yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's awesome, man. Cause like I say it on here all the time to like, when I'm talking to these artists, and like, for me, a lot of the times, like if I'm just now discovering a band or an artist, like a lot of the time, like the live show is kind of what keeps me going, like what makes or breaks it sometime, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, brother. Yeah, the live's a whole different thing, man.
Yeah. So are there any places or venues that like come to mind when you think of like that, you have like any favorites or any that you are on your bucket list? Any, got any you could pick off the top of your head?
As far as favorites, the Machine Shop in Flint, Michigan's probably on the top of the list. That's one of my favorite places to go. Great people. The venue is like, I don't know, there's something special about it. Doesn't matter who's playing there. Like, the crowd shows up, gets rowdy as hell, and it's like playing in a little tiny arena, like, for the night, you know what I mean? And as far as bucket lists, we're hitting one on this tour run with Clutch, the Caverns out in Tennessee.
Okay.
Get to go play in a cave, man. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of that. Like, is it literally like in a cave?
Yeah, man, it's literally in a cavern. It's like, it's just a stage in the middle of a big cave with bunch of lights and crazy shit, man.
Yeah, the acoustics have to be insane in there.
I bet they are, man. I'm looking forward to finding out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So let's talk a bit about your album that dropped. I think it was April 5th.
Yeah.
And Pollen's what it's called. And man, I was very impressed personally. It was, you know, like I would describe it as like grungy Southern rock kind of deal. Like, it's very unique. Like, and I think that's what makes you guys stand out a bit. And
thank you, man.
Were you, yeah. Were you guys happy with how it turned out and the reception from the fans and everything?
Yeah, man. I think, it's definitely different than, this is our fifth album. So it's definitely, we took a few more chances on this one, I think, sound wise and just kind of inspiration wise and took it in some different directions that we haven't really been able to experiment with before. So, it was kind of cool to kind of just let it fly. Like whatever came to mind, kind of let it go. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And man, like this is one of those like albums that like are pretty rare when it's like, I couldn't think of a skippable track on it, man. Like it was like one of those you could just listen right through without getting bored or skipping to the next one. It was really good. But well, so like, you. And you talked, yeah. And you talk about, experimenting a bit and going a different direction. Can you kind of elaborate on what some of those might be? Like if you could explain it a little.
Yeah, man. I think, in the past, we had like a lot more, it was a lot more like heavy influence kind of, you know, Tool, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, mm-hmm. and, that kind of stuff. And, we still kind of got some of that, but I think on this one, we kind of spread out a little bit and went more, took some inspiration from like Bob Seger, or like some more, classic rock sound and stuff. And, just kind of did, you know, whatever felt good, man. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could definitely hear like some like inspiration from that for sure. Now that you mention it, do you guys like just with how like genres are nowadays, like they don't really matter. I don't think, I feel like the genre lines are getting blurred. Do you guys like ever feel like pressure, not pressure, but like, is that something that comes to your mind whenever you're making like a new song or a new album? You're like, man, what are we going to make this sound like so it could fit in this genre? Or how do you guys navigate that?
I think on this one, we really kind of threw that to the wind a little bit and just, like you said, everything's kind of sounding, everybody's taken from everywhere. I mean, recorded music's been around for 100+ years now. So it's kind of like, you know, you have all this stuff to draw from and, you got to try to make something new, you know what I mean? And, you just got to do what feels right. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, man. And like, that's what makes artists stick out, like in their own unique way. Like if they could pull that off, like you have some artists who like, they try to jump into another sound. And it's funny because it's a lot of like the older guys, like Steven Tyler did like a country album and it was like, oh boy. But like with the newer guys coming out, like I guess you get to set your own path instead of, because you're not like already established, like your legacy isn't.
Yeah.
So like that's so it's really cool seeing like you guys and guys like Co Wetzel comes to mind. Like he just does whatever the fuck he wants and it turns out good and stuff like that. So it's really cool to see like more exploration into different sounds and styles.
Yeah, man. I think we need more of that shit, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So where'd you record this, Pollen? Where'd you record that at?
We recorded a lot of it at Soundstage in Nashville.
Okay.
This is the studio. They call it Ronnie's Place. It was Ronnie Millsap's old studio at Soundstage. And then we did a lot of the overdubs and stuff just at the house. Just kind of got a little set up. Our producer came over. I recorded most of my vocals, just set the mic up. All the keeper vocals were just setting the mic up in a closet and, you know, kind of old school and just kind of taking our time with it. You know, you're not on the clock when you're at your own house. You can kind of just take a break and regroup and, you know, drink a little bit, have a little bit of fun with it.
Got to have some booze there. If you're making a Black Top Mojo song, you need some booze involved.
100%.
So when I discovered you guys, when you came out with the song that you did with Dylan Wheeler, it was a couple years ago now, I think.
And Getaway Car.
So like, do you often collab with like other artists like that, or like even like write with them, or like, is that your thing?
Man, I've been doing it more and more lately. The thing with Dylan, I think that was the first time we had tried something like that. That was awesome just because we've known him for a long time, man. We met him 5 or 6 years ago. I think he opened the show when we were playing at some bar in Terrell or something like that. And then now he has blown way past us, man. He sells that bar out every time he plays there. He's killing it, man. It's fucking awesome to see.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, then, like, how when you do, like, co-write, how does it differ from, obviously, you're writing with another person, but, like, is there different methods of writing than you would do when you're just by yourself? Is it harder? Is it easier?
I think it's it can be easier for sure, just to have more minds in the room, people to bounce ideas off of and stuff. And I think you especially if you like are writing something by yourself and you get started on something and you're like, I think this is a cool idea. I just don't know where to go with it. And then you can, you know, take it to somebody else and they have, you know, ideas pop off like boom, boom, boom. You could do this and this and this, you know?
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely a cool, it's something I've been having to learn how to do over the past couple of years here. I just now started really co-writing a bunch with people and just writing to write and doing that, you know, that kind of thing. You got to learn the whole give and take of it. You know what I mean? Like kind of let go of the reins and let everybody, you know, mold it a little bit.
Run with it a bit. Yeah. So when you write, and this is just like, whether it's, I guess with your band, like when you guys all get together to like create, is it usually like lyrics first, instrumentals after, vice versa? Or is it just whatever the hell happens?
It could be either or kind of, man. A lot of the times when we've written in the past, it's just us like in a room and like one of the guys will have like a cool little riff or something. And then everybody kind of just start jamming. And then I'll scroll through the 1,000 notes I got in my phone and I'm like, maybe. And then I'll find something. I'll be like, oh, that kind of works with this vibe or whatever. And then kind of just run with that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So another interesting thing I love talking to artists about is like how they get, like how they, I guess, like in your case, how the lyrics come to you. Like, you know, some of them say, oh, I'll be driving out one night and all of a sudden a melody will pop in my head or something. Some of them, they sit down and they put themselves in a room and do it. How does it happen with you?
Yeah, a little bit of all of that, man. Yeah, sometimes you'll be driving and like trying to stay on the road and be like, I gotta type this in before I forget it. And then other times, I don't know, you just drinking some whiskey or like, you know, smoking a little bit, whatever. And then you just kind of write a bunch of random stuff down and you wake up the next day and you're like, most of this is bad, but I like this one line right here. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
You just put it in your phone and you have like thousands of notes, I guess. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, back to the co-write thing real quick. Do you, like, is there anyone that you really want to write with that comes to mind at all?
Man, I'd love to do another one with Dylan, and write like an original tune. Colby Cooper, he let me, he was kind enough to let me cut one of his songs that he wrote for my solo project that I got going and hoping to put that out a little later this year. But it'd be cool to write something with him. I like the way he writes and stuff. Man, just anybody and everybody, man. Right. You learn something new every time you write with somebody different. So it's awesome. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So you just mentioned your solo stuff, right? So, yeah. So tell us a bit about that. What's in store for us with that?
So I got just started playing shows out with that in December. So and then we released the Blacktop album, so that kind of got put on the sideline for a little bit. And hopefully this summer and like kind of the rest of the year, we'll be releasing a couple more singles or something like that. And then going back and recording some more and hopefully getting an album out. So
yeah. That's exciting, man. That's exciting. That's like really, that's kind of like a cheat code. The more I think about it, it's been around, you know, you have like the members of Kiss did that. All four of them put out like their own shit right. while they were in Kiss. And it's like, yeah. you know, it's like, that's just another way you could get your music out there and also like earn money off it and everything. So that's like that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like when we're at home, and not on the road with Blacktop Mojo, it's been cool to, like go out on the weekends and kind of start fresh from ground zero, everybody pile in a pickup truck and go play at these, like, you know, I guess, you know, country venues, quote unquote, you know, all these,
yeah.
there's a million venues around Texas. I mean, you can just tour around Texas and make a good living. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And some people just do that their whole career. And it's yeah, crazy. And, I mean, it's great. Like if you can do it, do it.
Yeah. And, just getting to play places, that we've never really gotten to play in the, you know, in the hard rock scene in Texas, mm-hmm. you know, like going to play Do-Si-Do in Houston or something like that. You know what I mean? Where it's like,
yeah.
that's a cool spot. I've always wanted to play there and never gotten to until a few months ago. So that's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. It is kind of it with the Texas guys, like with it, a lot of it's not Texas country anymore. That's what's popping out there. Like it's rock yeah. music, which yeah, is great. Absolutely. I love rock yeah. music, so I'm all for it. But, and like, you're seeing like guys, like I always reference him, but like Austin Mead, like he played Louder yes. Than Life and he plays all these other festivals and you got other guys too. I think Co is doing I don't know which one it is, but it's like a hard rock festival and
yeah.
stuff like that. Like, Geo.
Geo, they're always, yeah. man. Yeah. Yeah. I think we played, Welcome to Rockville with them, last year, maybe. Yeah. They were out there.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
Okay. So you were at Welcome to Rockville then. You've played these festivals.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. So, how would you describe like the festival, like process? Because a lot of artists, they're like, oh, I loved every second of it. A lot of them are like, man, it was miserable just because of like the logistics of it and stuff. Dude, yeah. Like how was it feel?
It's super fucking hectic and everything, but it's so worth it, I think, man, because you go out there and it's just everybody that's at a festival is there to listen to music and they're there to party and have a good time, you know what I mean? If you're,
yeah,
you know, for example, like the solo project, you go play it like a bar on a random bar on a Friday night and most people probably, they're just hanging out at that bar. They don't necessarily know who you are or anything like that.
Sure.
So you kind of got to win them over. And, mm-hmm. which that's fun in itself is trying to win over, you know, a smaller crowd. And, but when you go out to those festivals, man, the energy is just, it's way up here and it's adrenaline the whole time. It's awesome.
Yeah, man. So for you, excuse me, I just burped. I've been drinking. with you, great. Cheers. How do you know when you win over a crowd? Like in your opinion, like when you're like, all right, I got them. Like, is there a certain thing that happens or something you feel?
Yeah, I think it's just a feeling thing, man. Like you got, you know, you might play your first couple songs and then the crowd might be a little quiet, a little apprehensive, you know. Nobody wants to be the first one to be like, yeah, you know.
But
if you got them, you know, if you got everybody by the end of it, kind of like into it and like, you know, yelling at you, yelling yeah. with you, you know, singing with you and everything, then I think you did it.
Yeah, hell yeah. Have you been out to Nashville much?
Yeah, I've been out to Nashville quite a bit here in the last year. Yeah.
Have you ever thought of like working with like the artists out there at all or doing anything like that? Just with it being such, you know, Music City. So
yeah, for sure. That's where I've done a lot of the co-writing and stuff I've been doing over the past year. So year and a half, 2 years, whatever. I don't know how long it's been. I lose track of time, but, yeah, it's a lot of the guys out there that are like, you know, that's what they do for a living. They're songwriters. And, it's awesome to get in a room with those guys. Cause they are like, all right, we're going to churn one out today. You know what I mean? And, to have that pressure is it's a cool thing. Actually, it's a different experience. It's not like sitting at the house where you're like, oh, I think I might finish this tomorrow or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it like a whole new world, man? When you meet those guys, cause like they, like you said, there's a deadline. It just seems like so much pressure. And like a lot of times, like, you know, maybe they won't, their songs won't get cut. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, like, it just seems so hectic.
I mean, you kind of got to put the whole cut thing aside and just be like, we're going to write a song today. And then, like, you learn from that. Like, you get better by writing with them because their brains work like that, because they're just boom, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And the more you do it, the more you can kind of train your brain to work like that, where you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, I gotta be quicker on my feet. I gotta think faster. I gotta come up with something. Yeah. Here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Nice. So we talked earlier about like how Pollen was like, you know, experimented with new sounds, new things. Is there, for your next whatever it is, like a single or album, whatever you're working on, is there a certain like direction that you have in mind that you want to go musically or style wise?
Man, I don't know. It kind of is a case by case thing where you're just like, this song would sound cool like a Nirvana song, or this song would sound cool heavy as shit, or, you know, or this song would sound cool with just an acoustic guitar and like stripped way back, or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, man. And like, that's another thing I think that separates like artists, like mediocre to good artists, is like being able to do that, like, and pull it off. Like with you guys, it's the way you're explaining it, it seems like it just comes naturally, kind of. Like you said, it's case by case basis, and being able to churn it out like that, like,
yeah,
easily, like that. Did it take time to like really get into that, or were you like, man, yeah, we have to play this kind of music, we got to stay on this road?
I don't think it's been easy. I think it's mostly just like trial by error type of thing, where you like, you record a song one way and then you just be like, this just ain't it, man, and we should try it this whole different way. And then I don't know, as you go along, you're kind of get better maybe at picking out that kind of like, this would be a good vibe for this one to go in, or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have,
and then you're still wrong all the time.
Yeah, and like, I'm sure like you can't please everybody either. You got the critics out there and all that shit. They're just never happy.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's like when I do like for Rage Rowdy, when I do the write ups on like a new release or something, it's like if you don't like it, just don't write about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like shit like that. Like,
oh dude,
don't put the negative energy out there.
If you want to have a bad day, you go read YouTube comments or social media comments, dude. You definitely can't please everybody. It's crazy.
Yeah. Is that hard to do sometimes, like avoid the comments?
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, we're all human. We're all curious. You're just like, oh man, is that really what they think, man? And so,
oh, well, fuck them, I guess.
Yeah. But then, you know, that's what's weird about the whole social media phone thing, is you'll be like, that person will say that shitty thing to you on your post or on your write-up or whatever, and then if you see them in real life, they'd be like, man, I love your writing, dude. I read all your articles.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, man. And, like, sometimes it's like you forget to, like, write about someone, and then they're like, hey, like, why didn't – you know, I released something, right? It's like, bro, like, give me a minute. Like,
yeah.
Which it could be –
I'm listening to
it. Same with you guys. Yeah. And like you, it's like you're like working like hell, like as an artist too.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you ever have that like pressure of like putting shit out? Like, do you have anyone breathing down your neck at all, or is it just all you guys?
Luckily we've been independent for the last since we started. So we're the ones breathing down our necks. So like we'll always set a date, and I'm gonna be like, this is gonna be the release date, and it'll be like, you know, a year and a half out or something like that, and then you just try to hit it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's another crazy thing about today's world. It's like, you could be an independent artist and you could be like massive as another one, like on a label. Is have you guys ever like felt like, man, I really hope we get put on a label? Or is it more, have you always just been like, nah, I like being independent, doing our own thing?
I mean, so far it's been great being independent. I mean, if the right thing came along, and you know, I know a lot of guys that have great partnerships with their labels and stuff like that. And yeah, if the right thing came along, it's all about getting the right deal and having the right people around you. So yeah.
Yeah. And then you'll have those idiots in the comments again calling you sellouts and all that, not knowing what they're talking about.
Exactly. You can't please everybody, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's like, God forbid they, you know, try to make more money, but whatever.
Right.
Can you think back throughout your career doing this? Is there like, did you have like that oh shit moment, like early on or late on, like when you're like, we're actually doing this, this is actually working?
I don't know about working, but like we did have an oh shit moment in 2016. Everybody quit their day jobs and we all moved into a house together, and we were like, okay, this is like kind of our pact with each other here. We're gonna play music for a living. So like we would just pick up all the gigs that we could and just try to stay as busy as we could and pay the rent, you know what I mean? We were all, I'm pretty sure at one point, like living out a single bank account where like you'd go to the store and you'd just be like, hey guys, I'm going to go get like some fucking bread and peanut butter. Does anybody need anything? Or can I go do that? Do we have money in the thing? Yeah.
Then you got, like vetoed or something.
Yeah. They're like, nah, man, you got to wait till tomorrow.
Man. That whole step, which is like that just seems like such a crazy thing to entail too, is just quitting your day job. And like you said, I never heard it put that way. It is like a pact. It's like all right, there's no going back. We're forced to do this now, which is like, you know, that probably gets you guys very motivated. Like, was that hard to do when you like took that step?
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely jumping off into the unknown, man. Like you don't know. Mm-hmm. You're like, shit, we could be doing this for a couple months, and then everybody's like, all right, I can't take this anymore or whatever. You know, you got to really depend on each other and trust the guys around you. And I think luckily we still have that to this day. So, you know, we still have that time. Since we don't live in the same house anymore, luckily, we probably would have killed each other by now. But from doing that, we definitely became, as cliche as it sounds, we became family, and mm-hmm. we're still like that, still super tight to this day. So I think it's helped us out. Yeah.
So, and we talked about social media too a little earlier. How have you guys dove into the whole like TikTok, all of that shit? Like, have you guys experimented with that to like promote your music and stuff?
Man, we've given it a shot. You know what I mean? We try to post on there as often as we can. I don't know, man. I'm 30 years old. I'm not great at TikTok. But you know, the stuff that seems to do well is just when we're just playing songs. So like, that's pretty mm-hmm. simple. So like, we try to do that when we can, and like, you know, throw a little cover out there or something, you know?
Right.
But I can't figure that shit out for the life of me, dude.
No, man, it's, like, I got it, and, like, I have a page for, like, the rowdy alternative stuff, and I don't even post shit on it. Like, half my stuff gets muted because of, like, copyright reasons. It's like, fuck this. But, like, and the thing is, like you said, like, you what works well is just you guys playing on it. Like, you have some artists who do, like, the vlogs or the skits, stuff like that. And it's like, I feel like you really got to have the juice for that, because like I always reference Mitchell Ferguson. You know him?
Great dude. Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude, he's hilarious. Like he was made for that shit. And he has like, I was talking to I was talking to his wife Karina, and she said that like on their channels on there, like they have like just as big, if not bigger, of a fan base just from their TikToks than their like. Compared to their music. And it's like, if you got that, you could kind of put them together, make them, you know, intermingle a bit. And
absolutely, like, man.
It's a good tool.
Nah, dude, I love watching his stuff, man. He's great at that, man. He's great at that.
Very talented too, man. He's very talented.
I need to get better at it. I need to practice a little more. That's something I can get better at.
I'm about to be 26, and like even TikTok to me even is just over my head, man. Like I don't get it either. I feel like that's for the younger generation to figure out. I don't know.
I just remember when it came out and I was just like, man, this is never going to last. They do this all right. the time, try to make a new social media. And I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, here we yeah. are like 4 or 5 years later. I was wrong as hell.
Yeah. Like, well, they might ban it, apparently. I hear that too. So sorry, Mitchell.
Yeah.
So what do you got down the pipeline for new music for Blacktop Mojo? What do we got working? Anything you could tell us?
Well, we just released the album in April. So it'll be a little bit. We're gonna get back to writing probably this summer, and we got some more touring and stuff coming up. Trying to support the new album, and then hopefully be laying some demos down probably at the end of the year for some new stuff.
Right on, man. And we talked about it at the beginning a bit, but like with the touring you got coming up, we know you're with Clutch right now. Are there any cool dates, cool venues you plan? I know you said a few of them, but
yeah, we're going to the Caverns in Tennessee. I think that's the new one. We're in I don't know if you can see this shit. We're at the Stanley Hotel in
Oh yeah, let me see that.
Yeah, that's
dude, that is sick.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite movie.
Yeah. Yeah, we're up here in the mountains right now. So this is pretty cool. We're going to Aspen in a couple days. I've never been to Aspen. This fucking air up here is no joke either, dude. It's
you huffing and puffing?
Yeah, dude. We're jumping around on stage and you're like one song in and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's brutal when you're up that high. Matt, thanks a lot for hopping on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Your music's wonderful. It's great. I can't wait to hear more of it. Thanks a lot again. And if you have any plugs, like social medias, anything, like your website, the floor is yours.
Yeah, man. Blacktopmojo.com for all the tour dates and music and stuff. MattJamesOfficial.com for the solo stuff. And at Blacktop Mojo on all the socials. And mine's at Matt Jimmy James. So, yeah.
All right. Sounds good. And also, everyone, get on RageRowdy.com, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Google us. I don't care. You'll find it. I'm bad at doing plugs, man. I say Google it and you'll fucking find it.
Yeah, man. give her a Google. Yeah.
Give her a Google.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But thanks a lot, man. Be safe out there. Don't get like axed or anything like it happened in the movie.
But, I'll try not to, man.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, bro. My boots look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Take you home tonight. 'Cause baby, I'm